Now, what I want to do this morning is just continue a little bit longer in the book of Galatians. This is where we were before December. I shared a series of sermons for the Advent season, but now I want to get back just a bit back into Galatians, and we'll be looking at Galatians 3, 1 through 9. Please stand in honor of God's word. Follow along in your Bibles as I read aloud Galatians 3, 1 through 9. Now, at this point, Paul does something in Galatians. He really does let his passion get the best of him, because the things that were happening in the churches at Galatia really had upset Paul quite a bit. And you see that coming through right here in Galatians 3, verse 1. Because there he says, "You foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing, if in fact it was for nothing? So then, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law? Or is it by believing what you heard? Just like Abraham, who believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. You know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Now the Scriptures saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and proclaimed the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed through you. Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. So, just talking with many of y'all before the service started, asking kind of how your Christmas was and so forth, and many of you just shared about some good Christmas memories once again. I do want you to think, however, about the best Christmas gift you ever received. And maybe it was this past Christmas, or maybe it was a Christmas growing up, maybe it was a Christmas from childhood, but think about the best Christmas gift you ever received. Now, the Lord was gracious to our family. We had a good time of gift giving and gift receiving this year. I guess with each Christmas that I experience, I just learn even more the true words of Scripture, where Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And this is one thing that I've noticed just about myself, growing older in years, and my wife and I having kids, and then as our kids get married and so forth, you realize that when you're a child, you're so excited about the gifts that you will receive. You're excited about the gifts that you anticipate. But isn't it true that as you get older, you get more excited about the gifts that you are going to give someone, and you anticipate how they will respond when they receive the gift that you have given them? So I'm thinking not only about memorable gifts that I've received, but I'm also thinking about just anticipating the gifts that are received. Let me just tell you one gift that I got Sarah this year. And I don't think she would mind if I share this with you all. We've got a basement, and it's a finished basement, and I've got a little study down there. But it's all the basement is also where the dog is. We bring the dog in at night. We bring the dog in through the basement, and that's where the dog, you know, spends the night. And then in the morning we let the dog out. So you can imagine what the basement floor starts looking like after one out. Now don't assume too much that the dog is house trained. What I'm talking about is all the dog hair that begins to collect in the basement, just along the baseboards and in the corners and so forth. So, you know, we kind of joke about that. So here's what I got Sarah this year for. Now, this is not the only thing I got her, but one of the things I got her was, and maybe y'all have heard about these, one of these robot vacuum cleaners. Can I get a witness? All right. A robot vacuum cleaner. I think it's called a Roomba. Is that what it is? Okay. I got her one of these. And she kind of, you know, we'd see it advertised. She said, you know, that'd be a pretty cool thing to have. So I got her one. It's not the only thing I got her. Don't worry. You know, I got her other stuff too. But I got her one of these robot vacuum cleaners. So we got it hooked up yesterday. And it's about, oh, I don't know, maybe the size of a spare tire. I mean, it's like this big, and sure enough, you get it set up in a room, you get it charged up, Got the app on the phone, and when you tell it to go, sure enough, we watched it yesterday, the thing back. How many of y'all have one of these? Anybody have? Okay, all right, you know what I'm talking about. It's pretty cool when you first get it going. And we just, you know, you have to watch it, make sure it does what it's supposed to do. And in about, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes or so, that thing had covered pretty much all the area in the main room of our basement. And it would go out and go along the baseboards and so forth. I don't know how it knows to do what it does. But when it finished up, sure enough, most of the big clumps of dog hair and so forth around the baseboards and corners, it had managed to get. So pretty cool. And Sarah was you know, she was happy to get it, and kind of funny that she had mentioned it in conversation like one time, and sure enough, there it is. And so I was really, really happy to see her open that gift and just to see her response. So again, as you grow older, it really is more about the gifts that you give and how people will respond. Now, if it's a question of gift that I've received, one gift that always stands out in memory for me was several years ago. I was a student myself in seminary. It's back probably 25 years ago or so. And I was having to do a lot of writing for class assignments. And this is back before computers and word processors had really hit it big. Back before all of this would have been back in the probably the late 80s. And I was typing up all these assignments on an old typewriter that my mom had used in college, okay? Old typewriter. So my mother-in-law, Sarah's mom and dad, had heard me mention about this. It was kind of challenging using this old typewriter. So they bought me a brand new typewriter and gave it to me for Christmas. And again, nothing like a word processor or computer like we would use today. This is back before all of that. But it was a nice typewriter where it was easy to erase and correct things. And it really did make the difference for me getting through the rest of seminary with typing those assignments. But it was it just made me so feel so loved and valued that, again, you mentioned something kind of in passing months prior, and sure enough, there it ends up under the tree as a present, okay? So think with me about presents that you have received and maybe about the most meaningful gift that you ever received. And I think you'll agree with me, far beyond the monetary value of it, it was just the fact that someone loves you and they wanted to express that love in sharing a gift with you, something that they knew would give you joy, something that they knew either that you needed or that you just thought would be a cool thing to have. They simply shared that gift with you. What a difference gifts make in our lives, because it's one person expressing their love for us through the giving of something for us. Now, I want you to notice something happening here in Galatians 3, 1 through 9. Because in Galatians 3, 1 through 9, Paul talks about God giving us a gift. And it's so important for Paul to bring the Galatians back to this. Because in Galatians 3, 1, he says they're foolish, you know, and he says, I can't believe that you are walking away from true doctrine. He says in verse 2, I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you have heard? Now, remember what Galatians is all about. Galatians is about what happens when we or any of us walk away from the true doctrine of the gospel. Because the true doctrine of the gospel is that we are saved by our faith. We are made right with God because of what we believe. We receive the gift of salvation from God. We receive it, okay? We believe it and we bring it into our lives. But remember, Galatians is very clear about this. It is not based on works. It's not based on what we do. It's not based on our merit or how good a person we try to be. It's not based on that at all. We are saved by our faith, not by our works. And this is Paul's great grand theme. This was the theme that drove everything that Paul did. So it shows up in Galatians. You see it in Romans. You see it in Ephesians. You see it in Philippians. You see it crop up in the sermons that Paul preached in the book of Acts. This was the one theme that drove everything that Paul did. We are saved by our faith, not by our works. Well, the Galatians had drifted from that. Okay? When Paul began the church at Galatia, he began them, he founded the church on the true doctrine. You are saved by your faith, not by your works. Got them started. And then what did Paul do? Paul went off to go start churches in other places. But then, remember, he gets word that the Galatians had allowed some false teachers in that were getting them off of that true doctrine. False teachers who were saying, well, you know, Paul had it mostly right. Paul was mostly right. Yes, we are saved by our faith in Christ, but we have to add to that the works. We've got to add to it being a good person, doing the right thing, doing the right things, checking all the boxes. In fact, the false teachers in Galatia actually said that to be truly saved, not only did you have to believe in Christ, but you also had to do all of the stuff that Moses talked about in the Old Testament. You had to obey all those laws, all those rituals, all those customs. You do that and you believe in Christ, then you'll be saved. Well, Paul was beside himself. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. And so when he writes the letter to the Galatians, you see the passion, you see the emotion. He says, I can't believe you're abandoning the gospel. I can't believe this. And so in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, you foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? So Paul wants the Galatians to remember this one solid truth. The best things from God come as a gift. The best things from God come as a gift. And here's how Paul breaks this down. He says, first of all, remember, you began your Christian life because of a gift. It's how you began your Christian life. Again, look at this. He says in verse 1 of Galatians 3, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified, I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh? So the best things we have from God come as gifts. First of all, it's how we begin the Christian life. The life that you have in Christ came as a gift. You received salvation. You received forgiveness. You didn't work to earn it. Someone shared the gospel with you. You heard the good news about Jesus Christ and how he died for your sins and rose from the grave, and you believed it. And when you believed it, God forgave you, and this is what you received. You didn't manufacture it. You didn't make it up. Someone shared this truth with you, and this is how your Christian life has begun. But it began as a gift. And Paul simply says, listen, you began your Christian life by faith and faith alone. So now, why are you trying to add to it this thought that you also have to be a good person too? Paul says it doesn't make sense. You began your Christian life by faith. You began your Christian life by receiving the gift of salvation from Christ. So, again, the best things from God come as gifts. It's how we began our Christian life. But then Paul says something else. He says, listen, gift, not only is it how you began your Christian life, but it's also through a gift that you will end the Christian life. Take a look. Verse 4. Did you experience so much for nothing? If in fact it was for nothing. Look at verse 5. So then, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law? Or is it by believing what you heard? Just like Abraham who believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. Look at verse 3. Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh? Are you now trying to finish by the flesh? And here's what Paul is saying. Our Christian life begins when we trust Christ as Savior. But then we also look forward to the end of the Christian life. And remember what the end will be like. The Bible says that one day Jesus is coming for us. He is coming for you, and he's coming for me. Now, either we die before he comes, or either we're alive when he comes, but one day he will come for us. And one day when Jesus comes that second time, it will be a new creation, new heavens, new earth, new life in Christ. One day that is what we will be able to enjoy in Him. And the realization is that also is a gift. It will be given to you in Christ. Now stop and think about this. Think about all that the Bible says. We talked about this even through the month of December. One day when Jesus returns, evil will be punished forever. The good and righteous will be rewarded, a new creation to enjoy with the Lord. Is there any way at all that you and I could do that for ourselves? Could we manufacture this? Could we make sure everything that needs to happen would happen? No, God says He will do it. He will do it. It is the end of eternity that God has already decreed. He will bring it to pass. He promised He will, and we know that He will. So here's what the Bible says. We who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep, but when the Lord comes, we'll hear the sound of the trumpet and we'll enjoy the Lord forever. That's the end to come. And that's the gift that we are still awaiting in Christ, but it's a gift that we will be given. So Paul simply says this. He says, look, you began your Christian life by receiving a gift. Your Christian life will culminate one day in this eternal life in heaven that you will be given through Christ. So your Christian life will culminate with a gift. We began with a gift. We will end as a gift. Listen, Christ is doing His work in you. He is perfecting you. He is getting you ready to enjoy His presence forever in this new heaven and new earth. And did you ever think that the stuff that you face right now and the ways that you are growing closer to Christ and the ways that Jesus is roughing out your rough edges, He's simply getting you ready to enjoy Him forever. He is perfecting you. He is finishing you. And it's a gift of His presence in your life. A couple of Bible verses talk about this. This amazing work. Christ began something in you as a gift, and He's going to complete it as a gift as well. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6? Paul says, I am sure of this, that He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is what God is doing in your life. He is getting you ready. He's finishing you. He is perfecting you. And Paul simply reminds the Galatians, look, you can't manufacture this. You can't figure this out from start to finish. But you're receiving what God is doing in your life. He is finishing you and getting you ready. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, Colossians 3, 3 and 4, listen to what Paul says here. He says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God, and when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. This is what Christ will give you. So your Christian life began as a gift. Your Christian life will culminate as a gift. But what about right now? What about the living of this day? We know how our Christian life began. We know that it's going to end with a gift. But what about today? And this is really where Paul had to challenge the Galatians. Because the Galatians wouldn't argue with Paul. They said, well, yeah, Paul, sure, we began by receiving the gift of eternal life. That's how we began our life in Christ. And we do believe that one day Jesus will return and give us life in eternity. But you know what, Paul? It's right now that we feel like we have to do more. We've got to be a better person. We've got to have more merit and worth so that God will love us and accept us. And Paul says, listen, that makes no sense. If you began as a gift, if you're going to end as a gift, then live today knowing that everything that you have has been given to you by the Lord. Look at this. Again, verse 4, Galatians 3. Did you experience so much for nothing, if in fact it was for nothing? Look at verse 5. So then, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law? Or is it by believing what you heard, just like Abraham who believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness? Here Paul talks about the present day, the stuff that you and I go through and endure every single day. Now think with me about this. Think with me, first of all, about the hard times that we experience. Think about the difficulties that maybe some of you are experiencing right now, the trials, the challenges, the difficult days. The fact that you're able to endure them, the fact that you're able to persevere and make it through, isn't it true that that is because of God's presence in your life? Isn't it true that you're able to make it through those difficult days because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory? So even the struggles of a particular day, you can make it through. You can make it through from sunrise to sundown. Why? Because God is with you. God is giving you the power and the strength to endure and to persevere. This power doesn't come from you. It comes from God. God is seeing you through. So even when the difficulties and trials come in the present day, you realize, you know what? God's giving me a gift. He is giving me the strength to endure and to persevere, and I give him praise for it. So when the challenges come, when the hardship comes, guess what? The best things from God come as gift. We know it when the challenges come, and we certainly know it and understand it when the miracles come. Look again at verse 5. So then does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law? Or is it by believing what you heard? This is when the good stuff happens. The good things come. This is when, even in the midst of a particular day, even in an unexpected way, God just blesses you. He warms your heart with something good, something someone says or something you hear, or an act of kindness that one person shares with you, or when one person says, I forgive you, or one person says, I love you. You have meant so much to me in my life. Things that you cannot put a monetary price on, but when we receive something so good in life, all we have to say is, God, this came from you. I didn't deserve it, but God, you chose to bless me in such an amazing, deep, and fundamental way. And God, all I can say is thank you. Thank you for what? Thank you for the gift. So you see, it's gift from start to finish. It's a gift that gets us started. It's a gift that will see us through to the end. And it's a gift every single day to enjoy and have the Lord's presence. Now, understand the difference this makes. This makes all the difference. Because the Galatians had started to buy into a lie, a very subtle lie, that all of us have to continually be on our guard against. Because it's the lie, it's the deception that says that we've got to work to earn it. We have to be good enough for God to bless us. We have to meet a certain standard for God to love us and forgive us. That's the lie and the deception that we buy into. And quite frankly, it feeds our pride, thinking that we can somehow earn this. And Paul says, no, that's not that at all. You are who you are in Christ, not because you earned it or deserved it, but because God gave it to you. He bestowed upon you a gift, the gift of eternal life, only and simply and most fundamentally because he loves you. He had his eye on you. He saw you. He wanted you, and he approached you. His Spirit opened your heart and opened your eyes and opened your ears and to where you can honestly say that you trusted Christ because you had no other way. He drew you to himself in such a way that it would have been folly to choose any other way. Why did it happen? Because God gave you his Spirit to open your heart and open your eyes to believe. It's gift. You didn't earn it. You received it. Why? Because God loves you. And he wants you to spend eternity with him. We've got to get that right. We've got to get it right. You know, I was reminded of this just a couple of months ago. I was sharing with you about oldest son getting married this weekend. But when younger son, it's kind of how you refer to him, older son, younger son. When younger son Drew got married a couple of years ago, there were a couple of things that happened in concert with Drew and Bethany's wedding day that I will never, ever forget, because it just drives home the simple message that God loves you and he gives to you, okay? The day that Drew and Bethany had chosen for their wedding was Memorial Day weekend in 2017. And they wanted to get married at the chapel on the campus of Campbellsville University, and they wanted to have their reception outside under a tent. Okay, so wedding in late May with the major part of it outside. Already, some of you are thinking, okay, well, you're kind of taking a risk there, because the weather can be so unpredictable, particularly in May in Kentucky. But we said, Drew, Bethany, maybe you should have a backup plan. Maybe you should have a plan B. Maybe you should have a contingency. Maybe you should just plan on something inside so we don't have to worry about the weather. Well, they wouldn't hear none of it. No, they wanted to have that reception outside under a tent on the lawn there in front of the chapel. We could not talk them out of it. So the week of the wedding, we're all watching the weather. And it looks awful for that day. And as we get closer to the weekend, the weather forecast only gets worse. Torrential downpour, thunderstorm, major rain event coming to Taylor County on this particular Saturday, and it's going to hit in the afternoon. We're like, you know, it's like, pull out the phone. Drew, do you see the weather? No, Dad, we're going to be fine. We're going to have this thing outside. We could not talk them out of it. So the day of the wedding comes. And it's cloudy, it's windy, and they've got the tent set up, and the wind is so strong, it's like blowing chairs over and stuff, okay, as they're even trying to get this thing set up. So the wedding ceremony is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so as we're waiting in the lobby of the chapel for the wedding ceremony to start, I just took a moment, and I just said, Lord, I'm just going to ask. I'm just going to ask. Lord, Could you give Drew and Bethany just a break in this weather? Could you give them dry weather for the reception? And I even said, I said, Lord, you know, you do whatever you want to do. I make no claim on you. I know that in all the prayers being lifted up to you right now, you know, there are some that are a whole lot more life desperation than this. But Lord, I'm just going to ask. I'm just going to ask. And Lord, I just leave it totally in your hands. And however you choose to answer this prayer, Lord, you get the glory. I'll give you thanks, but I'm just going to ask. Well, the ceremony was at 2. While the ceremony is going on, we hear the wind and the thunder and the lightning outside. But as the ceremony concluded, and as we're all gathered back in the lobby, the weather starts to clear. The rain stops. The clouds part. And the sun comes out. And for 3 hours on that afternoon, it was a beautiful, sunny day in Campbellsville, Kentucky. Now, the ground was a little soggy, but we made do with that. But God gave them a beautiful, beautiful afternoon. And I'm telling you the truth. As the reception ended and as they got in the car to go off on their honeymoon, as soon as the door shut on that car, the wind picked up, the clouds rolled in, and then it's like the story of Noah. I mean, it's like the floodgates opened, and there, so much rain fell on Taylor County that day, so much rain fell that it actually overloaded the local water supply. So that overnight into Sunday morning, the water system of Campbellsville had to shut down because so much rain had fallen and I don't know all the mechanics here. It seems kind of weird that we lost water when all the rain came, but we did. The whole city of Campbellsville lost all water the next day on Sunday morning. That's when the rain came. Now, here's something else pretty cool that happened. You know, I know what it means to be a pastor. I know what it means, you know, Sunday's coming. So listen, I had a sermon all ready for that Sunday morning. I was all ready to go, was ready, you know, it's going to be a big family weekend. We had a lot of stuff going on, but I was ready to go on Sunday morning. Well, it turns out that with there being no water, not a drop of water in the city of Campbellsville and all this flooding, that all the churches canceled on that Sunday morning. And our Campbellsville Baptist Church canceled on that Sunday morning. It's one of the few times ever that church has had to cancel. But there was no water at all. So I got a Sunday off. I mean, can you believe it? You know. And so we slept a little longer. We had family staying with us. And here's the other thing. We live out in the county. We're not even on city water. We're on like Greene County water. We never lost our water. But we got a Sunday break. And we kind of able to get things back together again and had a few wedding details to clean up even at that point as well. But here's my point. God didn't have to do that. He did not have to do that. And my approach simply was, God, I make no claims on you, but Lord, I'm just asking. You said that we can approach you as a child approaches his or her father. Lord, you can do that. You can do this. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. I'm just asking. And God did. And to me, it was a token of love. A token of love for this sweet couple, Drew and Bethany. I mean, they staked their trust in the Lord. And he gave them a beautiful afternoon. It was simply an act of love on the Lord's part. So I would put that up there with him stopping the sun in its tracks in that great battle we find in the book of Joshua. For us and our family, he did it for the afternoon of Drew and Bethany's reception. Listen, this is how much God loves. And this is how much God loves you. He loves you in big ways. He loves you in small ways. He loves you enough to send his son to die for you and rise from the grave. He loves you enough to forgive every single sin, every single one. And he loves you enough that he wants to spend eternity with you. And he loves you enough to do even something relatively small. And even someone could argue ineffectual in the whole vast global scheme of the world. But God is able and willing to do that just for you because he loves you. How many of you this morning have been hesitant to trust this? Maybe you've been betrayed or let down by others and you don't know if you can trust again. Listen, you've got to trust the Lord on this. You have to give him everything. You've got to put everything in his hands. But I'm telling you and I'm guaranteeing you this morning, you trust the Lord. He will never let you down. Father, we praise you and thank you today for the gift of life that is ours in Christ, that we began our life in you because of a gift. We know that we will end our life in you because of a gift, and that we make it through every single day, whether it is a good day or whether it is a challenging day. We make it through only because you are there in us and for us. God, forgive us for even thinking that we have to earn something with you. Lord, forgive us of that even subtle distortion of the truth of the gospel. May we always remember that the best things that come from you come as a gift. And may we even today receive the gift of eternal life by trusting in Jesus. This is what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.